Please rise.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read from Matthew chapter 11. And our theme this morning, hear Jesus and do not doubt. Please be seated. Dearest Redeemed of Christ Jesus, there are times, there are probably many, many times that each and every one of us feel very, very emotionally low. Our lives can be seriously upset by sickness, problems in your marriage or family, unmet expectations, which will leave you very frustrated, economic difficulties, which can be very, very discouraging, an unexpected death, which will certainly leave you hopeless. Spiritually, suffering, sin, and guilt erode our well-being. And that's when the devil comes and he slides up behind you and he whispers in your ear that you should doubt God's presence and his power in your life. Remember the devil? He likes to ask those questions. Is he really there for you? If he is God, then why would he allow all these problems happen to you? If he really loves you, why, he would protect you. Is there really a God in your life? It is John's question and our questions that Jesus addresses this morning in our gospel lesson. Jesus this morning directs each and every one of us. He directs us to himself, and in him, dear ones, you are told to hear Jesus and do not doubt. Yes, I know, questions. Parents are used to questions. Question after question after question. Why? My wife and I dealt with it, and now parents today, you are dealing with it. Questions are a part of our human condition. John today has a question. He wants to know whether Jesus is the coming one, or if he should expect another. Actually, what John is asking, he's asking, Jesus, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or is there another Messiah who will follow you? Imprisonment. Imprisonment was miserable enough for John, but now that his preaching had ended, John may begin to question himself. And he certainly began to question whether Jesus' ministry was proceeding as John, had envisioned and hoped for. John's disciples may have also been having a very hard time remembering what John had said about the Messiah, and then seeing Jesus, while he didn't seem to act like a Messiah. John's faithful followers could have been raising doubts with John as to whether John had prepared the way for the right Messiah. Yes, such questions are part of the human condition. Sin, dear ones, your sin and my sin has destroyed a once perfect relationship with God. It began right there in the Garden of Eden, and it continues in each successive generation. In our lack of understanding, we question how God fits into our lives and how we fit into his will. The paradox is that even though we doubt, we can still believe. Just as the father of the demon-possessed boy proclaimed in Mark chapter 9, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. The danger for you and for me is always that our questions may turn into unbelief and rejection of God. You begin to think to yourself, self, it's not my thought. It's not my fault. It's not what I have done. Why, God's bringing all these problems into my life. Therefore, this is God's fault. When in reality, dear ones, it's your disbelief. It's your doubting, fueled by the devil and his desire, his earnest desire to lead each and every one of you away from your Lord and Savior. He will continually whisper in your ear, did God really say? But Jesus has an answer for you. Jesus gives you a very positive, joyful answer this morning. Your Lord's answer curbs. It stops our unbelief and our rejection. Our rejections are laid to rest. Listen and see, he says. Listen and see. Fruitful ministry is taking place. John's disciples were directed to the healing, to the cleansing, to the proclamation that was changing lives. Many, many people were being healed. The deaf could hear. The blind could see. The mute could talk. The lame could walk. Those with leprosy and all other diseases were being healed. Even the dead were being given life. As a matter of fact, when John's two disciples found Jesus, he had just raised a young man from the dead, and he gave back a widow her son, that widow that lived there in Nain. In giving back the widow's son to her, Jesus had just made her life 100% better. It is that power, dear ones. It is that power of God that has redeemed you and that has saved you. And it is that power that makes you whole once again. It is that same power that is here this morning in your confession of your sins. It is Jesus who proclaims that all your sin is forgiven. You're made whole again in the sight of God. You are certainly his dear child, for here at baptism, you were claimed by him. And in your baptism, you were given newness of life. And because of your baptism, you are able to stand each morning and say, devil, I am a baptized child of God. Away from me. I will not listen to your lies any longer. Dear ones, you have that power. You do not have to listen to the evil one. And all those evil questions that he has, dispel him, resist him, and the devil will flee from you. The answer that John's disciples and that you are given, dear ones, centers directly on Jesus himself. For Jesus says, go back and tell John, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Not just because he is preserved from the consequences of unbelief and rejection. No, because God in Christ Jesus, blesses all of us who are never offended by Jesus. Now, it's interesting that the word offended that Matthew writes is actually the Greek word skandalizo. And as you listen to that word closely, you hear the English word scandal. Jesus is saying, blessed is he who isn't scandalized by me. That word scandalized in the Greek means to fall into a trap, to be entrapped. And when you fall into a trap, well, the animal would naturally die. So what is Jesus talking about? Dear ones, the church is full, just as it was then, of false teaching. And the false teaching then was this, that the Messiah would come and he would destroy all the hated enemies of Israel. In other words, the Romans would be gone. The Greeks would be gone. Every other nation state would be destroyed. And the Messiah would usher in a new golden era, the same golden era that David and Solomon reigned over. This is what the Messiah would do. And that is false teaching. Jesus didn't come to destroy the Romans or the Greeks or any other nation state. Jesus came to destroy your most horrible, horrible enemy. The one enemy that can destroy your very life, your spiritual life. Jesus came to save Israel then, and he saves you today from sin, death, and the power of Satan. Those are the enemies that Jesus defeated right here. The Messiah did his work. And that's exactly what Jesus was telling John's disciples to take back to John. John, don't fall into that trap to think that I am a political Messiah. I am no political Messiah. I am the Messiah, the spiritual Messiah that will save you from sin, death, and hell itself. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God's answer to this world's suffering and sin was a life, a divine life that was born in Bethlehem. That life was given for the life of the world, as that life went to Jerusalem and died upon the cross. And then that life was raised again. Jesus said that the temple would be restored after 3 days. Jesus did that. The temple was rebuilt, if you will, after 3 days. For he rose again on the third day. And he rose to everlasting life. Jesus rose victoriously. Therefore, dear ones, the day will come when you will rise victoriously. This is the work that God, that Jesus has done, that he has done for you. The saving glory of God the Father is fulfilled in Christ Jesus, his only begotten Son. And this is the message that you hear today. Don't fall into those traps. Believe what I have already told you, that I would come, to die, but then I would rise again on the third day. I would give you a free gift of life eternal, but then I would ascend into heaven. But fear not. Fear not, for I will return. And when I return, I will take you to be where I am. Jesus will keep his promise. That same promise is heard today in the Old Testament reading. Jesus fulfills perfectly what Isaiah wrote. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is what Jesus has done. For here at the cross, Satan was defeated, and the power of sin and death has been defeated. In his death, he defeated death for you. My dear ones, belief in his answer makes you great. Yes, it seems like a paradox. It doesn't seem right. Jesus has just said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." But then he says immediately after that, "Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Kind of a head scratcher, isn't it? Wait a minute. Jesus has said there's no one greater than John the Baptist, born of a woman. But then he turns around and says, "All of you are greater than John." How so? Astoundingly, Jesus counts each and every one of you greater than John. You here in Ohio or in Indiana or wherever you live, you are greater than the great John the Baptist. How could that be? Because you have heard and you believe what Jesus has done right here at the cross. My dear ones, the great advantage that you have, that Adam did not have, that Abraham did not have, that Joseph did not have, that John the Baptist did not have, is that you know that Jesus went to the cross for their sin and for your sin. You know and you believe that as it was prophesied, he would rise on the third day, and that he would ascend into heaven, and that he would return. On this side of the cross, you are greater than John the Baptist, for you have seen and you have heard and you believe. The Old Testament church had to wait. The New Testament church didn't have to wait. We saw what Jesus has done. Now we together, old and new, have been joined together in the new Israel, and we all wait together when Jesus will return on the clouds with great power and glory, and we will lift up our heads and we will behold our salvation. Yes, you and I are greater than John the Baptist, for on this side of the cross, we have seen and we believe the great work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thanks be to Jesus. Dear ones, hear Jesus and do not doubt. It is Jesus who brings you through the turmoil and suffering of this life. Therefore, live patiently, just as James told us. Live patiently, dear brothers, knowing that the Lord will return. This present suffering is only for a short time, and it doesn't even compare to the glories of heaven that you and I will live in forever and ever and ever. Therefore, listen to Jesus one last time. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And be faithful. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Listen and hear Jesus and do not doubt. And that's why we in the church today continually pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.